topic of the Shiur is going to be Hachana on Shabbos. Now, I'm sure everybody here knows something about the issue of Hachana on Shabbos. One is not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Chol. The question is, to what degree is one allowed to prepare? Because not everything is awesome. And what things are actually awesome? What is the gather? What is the definition of Hachana when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos? So normally what I would do is to start with the Makoris, right from the Gemara, work through from the Shalim to the Poskim. I'm going to start with the story with the Shaila, which was put to the Marshag. The Marshag was a Posek in Hungary approximately 100 years ago. And the Shaila was like this. In that particular town, they used to provide for the Chol of Yisrael in the town by going to a farm, which was on the outskirts of the town. A Jewish person would go there every day, supervise the milk would be brought back to the town, and the whole Kehillah would have Chol of Yisrael for their use. The question was, what happens on Shabbat? What are you meant to do on Shabbat? They had the right to the Chol of Yisrael, to the Chol of being produced by this particular farm. But what's going to happen on Shabbat? If a Jewish person is going to go on Shabbat to the outskirts of the town and watch the supervision and supervise the milk, then the problem is going to be, so this is going to be Hachana for Shabbat, surely. Because that milk is not going to be used until after Shabbat. What's going to happen is, the milk is going to be brought back, maybe on Shabbat perhaps by a goy, or brought back after Shabbat, but the Hachana, surely the Hachana is being done by the Jewish person who's going on Shabbat, watching the milk, and then that milk is going to be used after Shabbat. So the Shaila, this was the practice in this town, and the Shaila was put to the Marshag by somebody who lived in the town. It seems to be from the Shaila over there that was the Maritzedek, the Rav of the town, was putting the Shaila to the Marshag. And he said, how can you do this? How can you do this on Shabbat? Is this not a problem of Hachana? So the Marshag said, no, this is not a problem of Hachana at all. And in his Tshuva there, he states a very important definition or distinction within the halakhas of Hachana. And the point is that, like this, Mashak says that Hachana is only when a person intends to save time or effort by doing something now on Shabbat that he will not have to then do after Shabbat. By doing this act now, if I've saved myself time or effort now, and I don't have to do that after Shabbat anymore, that is Hachana, that's a preparation. And the lashon that he uses is Machlif Avoyde Shal Yom Chol Avoyde Shal Yom Shabbat Kodesh. I'm swapping over something that I would be otherwise doing after Shabbat. I'm doing it now on Shabbat itself. That is Hachana. But, says the Marshal, if I'm doing Hatzolah, if I'm trying to save something, which if I don't do this act now, then I'm not going to benefit from whatever thing it was. That is not Hachana at all. I'm not preparing for Chol. I'm doing an act of Hatzolah. I'm saving the thing. And this particular instance over here, if they were not to go and supervise the milk at that particular time on Shabbat itself, they would not be able to use that milk itself. So therefore, when the Jewish person went to the outskirts of the town, to this farm, on Shabbat itself, and supervised the milk, that's not a problem of Hachana, because he's saving the milk. He's enabling the milk now to be used. He's not preparing for Chol. That, the Marshag says, is a distinction between Hachana and Hatzolah. Now with this distinction, we're going to be able to understand a number of different halachas and things in the Gemara. However, when the person who asked the Shaila to the Marshag got his response, he had a kasha on this. He had a question on this, and he wrote back another letter to the Marshag, and he said, one second, I don't understand. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says, if a person has an animal on Yom Tov, which is about to die. The animal is about to die. This is called in halacha a musukenes. Now the halacha is you're allowed to shecht it before it dies and eat the animal because it's not dead yet. It's not a nevela. There's a chumra from the Gemara, one shouldn't do it, but mi'ikah hadin from the halacha, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to shecht this animal on Yom Tov, and at any time, especially on Yom Tov as well, you can use it, there's no problem at all. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you want to shecht it on Yom Tov, you have to be able to eat a kazayis bosa of this animal while it's still Yom Tov itself. It's not enough just to shecht it, there's got to be a tzorech hayom in order to do it. So the question is, isn't this a clear case of hatzolah according to the Marshag's definition? If I'm not to shecht it now on Yom Tov itself, I'm going to wait till after Yom Tov, the animal's going to be dead by now, and therefore I won't be able to have it. So why can't I just shecht it now? Why does it have to be? I have to have a Tzoyer Chayayim. That was the question that he put to the Marshad. And the Marshad answered, no. There's a very important distinction. Because when did I say that Hatzola is Mutter and it's not Hachona? That is when I'm not doing a Malachas Issa or a Malachar as such. When I'm doing something, for example, I'm walking to the outskirts of a town, or I'm doing some washing up, which is not a Malachar as such, and I'm not doing it in order to prepare for Chol, but I'm doing it because I want to save this thing. If I can't do it now, then I'm going to lose out, said the Mashal. That's okay, that's Hatzola, it's not Hachon. Because there's no Malachas Issa or Malachar at all involved. But when it comes to Shechita, Shechita is different. Shechita is a Malacha. It's just that on Yom Tov Shechita is Mutter, the Tzoyach Oichol Nefesh. But it's still a Malacha. So in a case like that, where it would be a Malacha, then there is no Heter of Hatzola. You need to have a Tzoyach Hayom. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said you have to have the ability to be able to eat a Kazayas Basa on Yom Tov itself. And it's not simply enough to say, well, I'm saving the animal from dying, and therefore the Shechita is gaining me something, and therefore there's no problem with Hachon. I can't do that. Because there's a Malacha that's involved in there. There's another distinction that he's making between when you're doing a Maisa Heta and a Malacha. There's a difference between a Maisa Heta and a Malacha. When it's a Maisa Heta, there's a Heta of Hatzola. If it's a Maisa Issa, then, or a Maisa Malacha, then there would not necessarily be a Heta of Hachon. Okay, that's the basic discussion which the Mashrag says. Let's move on to some of the Makoris from the Gemara and see how this applies to practical situations today of Hachonah. The Gemara says, in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mekaplim et haKelim afilu avor v'chamisha pa'amim." A person is allowed to fold up Kelim even 4 or 5 times. We're not going to go into that. "Umatzin et hamitoit milele Shabbos to Shabbos." You're allowed to set up beds from Leil Shabbos to Shabbos. I mean, Friday night. You can set up a bed in preparation for Shabbos by day. If you're not allowed to set up a bed from Shabbos to Moitzoi Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah says. And then, later on, a few back later in the Gemara, the Gemara brings a very similar kind of brisa, and it says the following thing. Tomer Rabbanon, Ka'orei she'ochol bahen arvis, madichon le'achol bahen shachri. What happens if a person has bowls or cutlery that he used Friday night? Are you allowed to wash them up? So the writer says, you're allowed to wash them up for use tomorrow morning. If it's shachrit, madichan lechol b'tzarayim. If you use them in the morning, then you're allowed to wash them up in order to use them in the afternoon. Min ha-mincha ve'eleich, shuv einu madiach. But from mincha onwards, which the Pesukim explain means after Shabbos Shudas, you're not allowed to wash them up. Why? Because presumably that would be preparation for chayt. And the lashon that Rashi uses over there is, it's hachona, or tircha, because you're going to wash it up in the afternoon, you're not going to use them afterwards. Most people don't eat late afternoon. You can have Shalosh Shudas, but you're not going to have very much more. So therefore, when I'm washing up now, it's only going to be for Choy. So Rashi seems to say the pshat in this mission is over here, it's a problem of Hachonah. If I'm doing it at night time or in the morning, it's not a problem because I'm going to be using it during the day. But if I do it in the afternoon, then I'm not going to be using it during Shabbos itself. It's going to be only for afterwards. That is not allowed, according to Rashi. That's how Rashi explains the Mishnah. Okay. Now, however, if you look in the Rambam, Rambam doesn't say those words. The Rambam says different words. The Rambam says, if you do such a thing, it's k'masakin, the Rambam uses. K'masakin, which sounds like which malacha? Tikkun mono, which is makib patish, a different kind of malacha. If I wash these things now, I'm fixing them up, I'm rectifying them, I'm taking them from their state of being dirty to the state of being clean, that's kumasakin. It's not real makib patish, I'm not finishing an item as such, which is a problem of malacha, but, says the Rambam, it's kumasakin. Along comes the writer of the Rambam and he says, no, I can't understand what the Rambam says, not kumasakin, the problem is, you're preparing it, le tsoirech choyl. Very similar to Rashi. The Rabbi says, like Rashi. Now, a number of the Poskim today, Rav Osner, in Shemit Halevi, Benezer Waldenberg in Sitz Eliezer, Moshe Sternbuch in Shuvat HaHogas, come along and they point out that seemingly, face value, there seems to be a machlokes here between the Rabbi and the Rambam. And the Rabbi clearly understood there was a machlokes because he came along to argue on the Rambam. And therefore, there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam as well. Rashi's saying the problem over here is because you're doing something that's Torah Chol, and the Rambam is coming on to say it's kemesakin. That's what appears to be at face value, a machlokes over here. However,
is the Rambam talking the whole of Shabbos from Friday night to Shabbos morning?
No, no, only mentions the case like the Gemara says.
Oh,
Friday, yeah, only Shabbos like the Gemara.
Why is it much earlier on then?
Ah, that's the question. That's the question. So it seems to be that possibly what was bothering the Magid Mishnah, which I'm about to come on to, the Magid Mishnah and the Radbaz and other Achronim, who come along and they explain, no, the Rambam was not arguing with Rashi at all. When Rambam says Kumasake, he doesn't mean Kumasake Makibapatish type of Issa. He doesn't mean that at all. He means Kumasake Lefei Rechoil. You're rectifying this thing. Tikkun is also a word that can be used for preparation. It's rectifying this thing, it's correcting this thing. And the Rambam therefore is not arguing Rashi at all. So there is a machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Everybody holds that the problem over here is doing something l'tzoyre choyl. I did notice in the Aruch HaShulchan though, he seems to learn that there is actually a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashi. However, most Pesukim that I saw seem to say that no, everyone, they go like the Magid Mishnah and the Radbaz, everybody is saying the same thing over here. The problem of Hachona l'tzoyre choyl. Now, those three words in Rashi, the Ein Hadochazu El Lachoyl, those few words in Rashi, the Ein Hadochazu El Lachoyl, are very important. Because the Pesukim nowadays make a lot of diukim from those few words to enable us to permit a number of different cases which we might have thought are a problem of Hakona. Let's go through the following cases. This is Ezra, Rabbi Ezra Waldenberg, with Pesukim Yerushalayim today, in his Shubas, was asked the following question. Is it Mutter? In a hospital, he's the Rav of the Shalitelic Hospital, and he was asked the following question: is it mutter in a hospital to wash up kelim, utensils, on Shabbos itself, even though there's a good possibility they're not going to be used on Shabbos at all? They're probably not going to be used on Shabbos at all. But the reason why they're being washed up in a hospital situation is to prevent the spread of germs and bacteria, and therefore, for hygienic reasons, you need to wash these things up on Shabbos itself. Now, if it was pikuach nefesh, okay, obviously we wouldn't know. But it may be it's not pikuach nefesh. It's just the normal policy of a hospital. They don't want dirty kelim sitting around in a hospital. So, hygienic, general hygienic reason, is it mutter to wash these things up on Shabbos itself? And the Tzitzit Ezer comes along and he says, well, look at that Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, when is a person not allowed to wash up kelim on Shabbos? When the situation is going to be, Dein Hadochazu, Ela, the Tzoyrech Choyl. When is it Issa? When is there an Issa? If it's the Tzoyrech Choyl. But if it's not a Tzoyrech Choyl, it's a Tzoyrech Shabbos, now, this moment in time, because I'm now going to be saving everybody from coming into contact with germs and bacteria, that is a Tzoyrech Shabbos, that's not a Tzoyrech Choyl. There might be a benefit of Tzoyrech Choyl, but it doesn't matter. The benefit is for now. The benefit is for now, because Shabbos, people are going to be saved from germs and bacteria. And therefore, that is a Tzoyrech now, and therefore it's mutter. That's one deal that comes out from this Rashi. What happens, however, when, in a normal situation, not a hospital situation, in your house, you want to do washing up, let's say it's your Shabbos crockery, and you're not going to use this crockery until next Shabbos. You're not going to use it during the week at all. So if I wash up these plates now, I'm not going to be using it for Choyl. It's not necessarily for Choyl. It's going to be for next Shabbos. Is that allowed? So many places will ask this Shaila, and it goes back even as far as Rabbi Yosef Chaim from himself, the Rav Yerushalayim, and he held it with mutter. It was mutter to do that again because he's medayik in Rashi. When is it osur? When you're doing it the tzayir choy. If you're doing it the tzayir Shabbos, it's actually going to be mutter.
It doesn't make a difference if it's a different Shabbos.
Doesn't matter because the idea that's lying behind Hachona, right? If you're doing it, it's a little bit in covered Shabbos. You're doing something on which is weekday. It's a vachadik, something that you're doing on Shabbos itself. But here it's the same Shabbos. Doesn't matter what difference this Shabbos next Shabbos. Seemingly that would be the Torah behind it. Okay, that's a practical question. We're talking the longer table here. Is it mutter or is it osur? So the truth is, however, there are a number of other places who forbid this. They say this is osur. However, the lotion that they use is not quite that it's completely osur. It's supposed to be machm, etc. The Tosafot Shabbos says a lotion like that. And the truth is, there's actually a machlokes hagilsos in a Tosafot. Rabbi Abramsky, in his Chazon Yecheskel, which is the edition of the Tosafot that he brought out, has in there, besides his own commentary underneath, he has different nuschos over there of different girsas of the Tosafta. And one girsa of this Tosafta, which talks about, which is the Brisa, which is quoted in the Gemara, one of the girsas over there actually says that the Tzoyrech Shabbos is also, and one says the Torah only the Torah Chol is also, but the Torah Shabbos seems to be Musa. So actually two different girdles in the Brisa itself. So therefore there is each of the sets of Pesachim over here have what to rely on. It's not quite clear whether they had those Gil Torahs or not. They probably didn't, but they were coming Mitam Torah, but they were coming to the Emes. But there are two Gil Torahs over here, and therefore it would seem to be a Machlokes. So again, that's something somebody should have to ask a Shaila about, is that Mutar or not. The Rosh Hashulchan says it's good to be Machmir, Rav Ozman says it's good to be Machmir, although Rav Ozman mentions that it is a Minhag Olam to be Makel on such a thing. Okay, so that's another date which comes out from this Rashi. What happens when you want to wash up dishes, but you're not doing it, you're doing it the Torah Shabbos now, because I want to wash up Kalim now, but I've got other ones in the cupboard. So I don't really need these ones now. I don't need to wash these up now. I've got other ones in the cupboard. So why can't I put these aside, cover them up, leave it till after Shabbos? And the ones that I knew got clean in the cupboard, I can use those now. Am I allowed to wash up Kalim now on Shabbos when I've got other ones in the cupboard itself? So again, a number of the contemporary Pesachim were asked this Shaila. I'll just quote one of them, Nasha Klein, in Shubat's Mishnah Halachis. He says, no, it's Musa. Why is it Musa? Again, we bring this Rashi. Dein hadach zu ela l'chayim. And when a person is washing up his kelim and used Friday night, or any time on Shabbos, and he's got other kelim in the cupboard itself, so you might argue, he's doing a tircha which is unnecessary, he's doing something which is completely unnecessary, why doesn't he just use the ones which are in the cupboard? No, because Rashi says, when is it after? When I'm doing it, the Torah Chol. What is the washing up that I'm doing now? I'm doing it for Shabbos. I'm going to use this plate. Have I got other ones in the cupboard? Yes, it doesn't matter. The Hadachah that I'm doing now is the Torah Chol. Is the Torah Shabbos. And therefore, it's allowed. So you might argue, well, there's no Torah at all. You might argue, the person's got Kedim in the cupboard. There's no Torah at all. But he seems to be emphasizing the word, the Torah Chol. When is it also? When is the Torah Chol? When is the Torah Shabbos? It's not the. So again, others are machmir and say that one shouldn't do it. Again, that's something somebody should have to argue, ask a shayla on. I'm not coming here to give stockim, I'm just alerting people to the inyan and the lie behind it. Another shayla. Are you allowed to put food in the fridge or in the freezer on Shabbos once you've finished using it? Now, obviously, most people here would say, yeah, of course you can, everyone does it. But is it water? I'm putting it in there because I'm really preparing this food that it's not going to go bad. And when is my gain? My gain is really going to be after Shabbos, but a few hours on Shabbos itself. Not really a gain, it can probably sit out unless you're in an avoiding hot climate. But it's not really a gain on Shabbos itself. So is this act of putting things in the fridge or the freezer, is that hachonah for after Shabbos? So that advice in Minchas Yitzchok, the game was asked this Shaila, and he comes along, and he quotes what we know already, the Marshag. What did the Marshag say? The Marshag said, when you're doing an act which is hatzolah, to save something, to prevent hefsed, to prevent something from going bad, that's not achonah, that's mutter. So when you put something in the fridge, doesn't matter, my kavanah is not for after Shabbos, my kavanah is to preserve this food, to make sure that it's not going bad, that's not achonah. And on that basis, he allows you to put things in the fridge, or the freezer for that matter. Now Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchotah, he's quoted as giving a different heter for allowing one to put things in the fridge or the freezer. The Hesed of Shlomo Zalman says, it was an interesting chiddush that he said, he doesn't bring a makor for it, which is also interesting as well. But Shlomo Zalman says a different heter. And it's a very, very kolistic, a very comprehensive kind of heter which covers a lot of different cases. Shlomo Zalman says, whenever a person does something, and he's, at the time he's doing it, he's not thinking in his mind that I'm doing an act of preparation for chayin. It's just something which is normal, hanhogos b'nei odom. It's a normal thing that people do. When you finish dealing with something, let's say, you just put it somewhere or do something with it. You're not preparing, the kavanah is not on the te'elet, on the benefit that I'm going to get after Shabbos as such. That, again, is not hachonah, the Shlomo Zalman says. That is just something that people do. People do that kind of thing. It's not hachonah. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says, since people, when they finish using food, they put it back in the fridge. It doesn't sit down and think, oh, well, I'm now putting this thing in the fridge because I'm going to be preparing for after Shabbos, and I'm going to get a gain after Shabbos, and my food's going to be all nice and fresh. A person doesn't do that. It's just normal conduct of people. That is not hakonah. The Shabbos Zalman says, therefore, it's mutter to put things in the fridge on Shabbos. On this basis, he also comes out with another heter, another which applies very often. What happens if you're in an area with an eruv, so you're allowed to carry? Can you bring your talis home after shul? Can you bring your other minyan home after shul? Surely I'm preparing for the next day, because I don't need it again, unless you wear talis mincha in some places, but most places don't. You're preparing for after Shabbos when I'm bringing it home, so then I'm getting a benefit for after Shabbos. Am I allowed to do that? So 1 second. We'll get to that in a second. So Shlomo uses his heter, but again, it's a normal thing that people do. You're not sitting down thinking that this is a preparation for chayim. You finish with it using your talis, you just bring it home. That's not hachana, Shlomo Zalman says. That fits into his getter, into his definition. That's not hachana at all. There are other problems as well with bringing home, but I'm not going to get into that at all. In terms of that, the problem of hachana, he says it's not hachana at all. But somebody showed me yesterday, he came across yesterday a tshuva of Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe says a different reason, and that's what somebody mentioned just now, a different reason why it's allowed for one to bring their things home on Shabbos, or when there's an Erev on Yom Tov, and it's not a problem of hachana. Rav Moshe says, because the fact that you're bringing it home and not leaving it in shul, if you've got no use for it at home, which is obviously the situation that we're worried about, because that's where the shayla of hachana arises. Why are you bringing it? Why don't you just leave it in shul? It must be because that person is very much fit about his possessions. He's worried if he leaves it in shul, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get ruined, it's going to get broken, it's going to get damaged. The person is worried. And therefore, what heter is that? The heter of hatsala, of heter. Now, Moshe doesn't quote the mashag, it's not his derech to quote many tshuvas, but it seems to be the same historia as a marshag that we said before. When a person is doing something to prevent hatsala, to prevent hefsed, which is a hatsala, he's saving the thing, and it's a slightly bigger chiddush over here, because in marshag's case it was to prevent a definite loss in the milk over there, and that was his side. But Moshe is saying over here that even if you're just worried, you're worried about it, you're worried about losing this thing, that is going to be that's not a problem at all. That's also under the gather of hefsed, and therefore a person is allowed to bring the thing home. That's what Moshe Balanchine says. Okay, now two or three more cases. Another chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. I'm going out Shabbos afternoon. I'm not going to come back until Motzei Shabbos. And in Mokum, an Erev, let's say. Can I take my coat with me, holding my coat? I'm allowed to hold my coat. Can I take my key in my pocket in order to enable me to get back in the door in the house after Shabbos? Am I allowed to do that? Because I'm preparing for after Shabbos, seemingly. I'm not going to need the coat now. Let's say it's not cold now, but by night you know it's going to be cold. So therefore, if I take my coat with me now, surely I'm not going to have any use for it now. I'm going to be preparing for after Shabbos. Is that not a problem? If I take my key now, I'm not coming back to my house until after Shabbos. So therefore, the key is only going to benefit me after Shabbos. Is that a problem of Hachana? Says the Shlomo Zalman, no. And it's a very interesting chiddush. The Shlomo Zalman says that people are allowed to walk around on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with walking around on Shabbos. You're allowed to go out. You're allowed to go and visit people. If I don't take this thing now with me, that's going to prevent me from going now. If I'm not going to be able to go out of the house without my key, and I know I'm not going to be able to get back into my house because there's nobody else at home, so then I won't be able to go out. So the act of taking my key with me, obviously I'm stressing when it's a mokum of an eruv, right? The act that I'm doing now, it's not a hachoda, it's enabling me now to go out on Shabbos itself. When I take my coat with me, if I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to go out because when I come back at night time it's going to be cold, and therefore I'm not going to go out now because of it, the Shlomo Zalman says that's not a hachoda. That is something which is enabling me to go out now. That's not a problem of hachoda, the Shlomo Zalman. That's a big chiddush. Again, he doesn't seem to quote some code for it, but he does answer a number of different halachas which are brought in Achronim with this point. So therefore, that's another heter that Shlomo Zalman says. Two more points. What happens when you have, let's say, a number of children at home and they throw the toys all over the place and the whole place is a big mess for Shabbos, and you want to tidy up all the toys, but it's a couple of hours before Shabbos goes out, I want to make the house nice and tidy, but my real benefit is going to be for after Shabbos. The house is going to be very tidy. I'm not going to have to do this after Shabbos. Am I allowed to do this on Shabbos, clearing up the mess now, making the place straight, making it tidy after Shabbos Shudders? Can I clear up the things from Shabbos Shudders? Am I allowed to do that? So there is a heter which is brought down, we're going to have Ron bring it down, which is Sidur Habayis. which means making the place tidy. That itself is a covered Shabbat. It's a covered Shabbat to have a tidy house on Shabbat. It's not nice to have things flying all over the place. That's not hachon and shame chay. That's for now. That's a benefit for now. And therefore, I'm allowed to do it. And the truth is that there is a source, the Be'er Sheva, Shuvah Be'er Sheva, which is one of the early Achroyim, who says this is not allowed. He says it's not allowed at all. However, the Achroyim don't take on like this Be'er Sheva. They will take on that it is Mutah. However, Shmuel Shabbos Kukosa points out in the last few seconds of Shabbos, you shouldn't do it. Because then you can't say, well, getting a benefit of my house being nice and tidy for 3 seconds before Shabbos goes out. He says, Kama Ragoim. I don't know exactly what that means, whether it's minutes or seconds, whatever it is. You have to have a bit of seichel here to work out exactly what you're saying. So, therefore, when I'm doing it, the Shem Shabbos, my house should be nice and tidy, the covered Shabbos, Abayis Noah, Masuda, that's allowed. However, for after Shabbos, if you know it's going to be a benefit only for after Shabbos, the last 2 seconds of Shabbos, I'm tidying up my house, obviously that would not be allowed. The final point I'd like to mention is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, a mother or father, anyone for that matter, are they allowed to get their children ready for bed on Shabbos, put them in their pyjamas, when they're not going to go to bed until after Havdalah? Okay, is that Hachana? I'm getting them ready for Shabbos, for bed now, on Shabbos, l'shem, after Shabbos. Is that allowed? So Moshe says, interesting thing, as far as he knows, most children, he says, that he knows, between the ages of, up to the age of 3 or 4, when they get ready in their pyjamas, they don't go to bed right away. They run around the house for a couple of hours causing trouble. And therefore, wearing their pyjamas is not necessarily something which is related directly to going to bed. It's something which is derech levisha. And therefore, if it's a couple of hours before Shabbos and the mother's getting them into their clothes for bed, but this is their derech levisha on Shabbos itself, it's not really for after Shabbos, that would be mutter, says Rav Moshe. However, if it's very, very early in the afternoon, and or even not early in the afternoon, but it's a bit earlier than the time they normally get into their pyjamas, and the mother just thinks, well, let me just get them into pyjamas now, I'm going to save my time, I want to have a bit of free time on Shabbos, and I'm going to get them into their pyjamas now, says Rav Moshe, no, you can't do that, because that is a problem of hachana. You're preparing for after Shabbos. You're saving yourself time for after Shabbos, which is again similar to what the Marshag said, although again he doesn't quote the Marshag. And therefore Moshe says, don't say it also. He says, Yesh tam godoy le'eso. There's a good reason whereby one should actually forbid this. But he says it's not clear cut. Very often a child, for example, makes their clothes dirty, and the mother just says, well, there's no point putting them on a fresh set of clothing, just get them in their pyjamas or whatever. There's no point making other clothes dirty. So then again, that's not really hachana as such. That's just putting, it's just, they might be doing it a little bit earlier than they would normally be doing it, but nevertheless, you can put them into their clothes at all. He says basically, it's totally on the hachana of the mother, is she really doing a preparation for after Shabbos, or is she really doing something now, which is going to benefit the children for the day itself. So there are many, many more examples of hachana, which I've brought down in the poskim. But I think with these things, we perhaps have a good introduction to this fascinating sugya of Shaias of Hachana.